We are back for another Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, Tyler Dragon, and our guy behind the scenes working his magic, Kareem Elgazar. Kareem, you just got back last night. You're back in action, 2 a.m. You're a man of just so many talents.
Yeah, I went to go cover the Bearcats at OSU basketball game up in Columbus. I thought it was a 7 o'clock start, but it was actually an 8:30 start. And I had to go pick up my credential by 5 o'clock in Columbus. So I had a nice few hours to kill. Got some work done in between picking up my credential in the game. And then as for the game, it just seems like the same old story with the Bearcats. The sky is not falling by any means, okay? But I'm just saying, it's been going on 10 years now. They can't make free throws.
The easiest shot in basketball, right?
Yeah, but it's my first time I'm doing this 10 years now as a professional. It's my first time at Value City Arena to cover a basketball game. I once went there for state wrestling a few years back. But it's a nice place. It's always nice to go up to Columbus and see how they do things up there. So
pulled an all-nighter, 2 a.m., now you on the podcast.
Yeah, back in the office at 10 this morning. So ready to roll.
Drinking that coffee. Well,
Thursday.
Plenty to talk about, guys, and I say this every week because something new, and I actually saw it on Twitter, as the Tiger turns is what people like to call it when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, they're winless, but there's still something every week. And right now, we'll talk a little about AJ Green because Zach Taylor said in his press conference Wednesday afternoon, he will more than likely see AJ Green on the field. And AJ Green was starting to get some reps out there right after bye week before they took a couple days off and then they got back to action into the practice field. And then all of a sudden, he said his ankle didn't really feel 100%. And I'm paraphrasing that right now, but everyone has said AJ Green will go out there when he feels 100%, which makes plenty of sense. But right now, no AJ Green.
Yeah, everything was trending in the right direction the last few weeks. After the bye week, AJ Green practiced on Monday. It was kind of like a limited practice just to get your wind back, to knock the cobwebs out after the bye week. And then on Wednesday, we all expected AJ to be out there full go. And Zach Taylor had his press conference, and I'm the one that asked him the question. I said, what are your expectations for AJ Green this week? And do you think he will be in the lineup Sunday versus the Ravens? And he said, yes, I believe AJ Green will be out there. And then they had practice 90 minutes later, and AJ Green wasn't out there. So it's like, wait, what? We talked to Zach right after practice, and he pretty much said that AJ's ankle was not feeling right, and those were his words right after the walkthrough in the morning, and he received word right before practice that AJ was not going to be out there. So he didn't want to label it as a setback, but that's a setback. And if AJ Green could not go through a full week of practice, he is not going to be on the field on Sunday, on game day. Football is a collision sport, and if your ankle isn't 100% and you haven't played the entire season, you're not going to come back after one or two full days of practice. You need a week full of practice without any setbacks.
And Kareem, if you're the Bengals right now, are you using caution? Are you like, there's more to this?
Well, the Bengals don't have any leverage anymore, right?
No.
So they better be using caution because you didn't trade him. So that means you're going to pay him unless you want a riot on your hands. They better be using caution. I mean, the plan is apparently to pay him. So if he's not 100% ready to go this week, don't start him, and definitely don't want to re-aggravate an injury to your best player, your franchise player who you plan on paying. So yes, I actually don't think it's more than a slight tweak or a setback. I don't think there's more at play here. I don't think AJ Green is the kind of guy that would say, I'm not practicing, I don't want to play for this team anymore. I don't think that he would be that kind of guy. I think on this one instance, you can actually take it at face value. The other stuff with the Bengals this season, no.
Cordy Glenn.
Right. All the other stuff, you can't take at face value, I don't think. But this, knowing what we know of AJ, and it seems that Zach has been a pretty straight shooter in terms of answering the questions and delivering the information that he knows, this you can take at face value. just didn't feel right. He's our best player. He's our franchise player. We're going to not practice. We're not going to put him in practice today. Meaning Wednesday. I think that's just it is what it is. Just like that. Leave it alone, you know.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think A.J. Green and Zach Taylor, they've been pretty honest during this whole entire process. And A.J. Green is someone who has talked to us and said, I'm not milking anything. When I'm 100%, I'm going to go out there. And I think he has earned that as a vet, as a leader in the locker room, until he's 100% to take the field again. But I do think it's interesting because we're still talking contracts right now. That's not something A.J. Green is working on. He's letting his agent handle that. And that's all happening behind the scenes. It always has with the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't think we're going to hear more about that until towards the end of the season. But it's fair to say, like, we're going to pay this guy some big chunk of change and he can't get through a full week of practice. Like, I mean, it's still fair to say that. And I know you could say, oh, you know what you have with A.J. Green. Yeah, you do know what you have with A.J. Green. There's a lot of positives. The pros will outweigh the cons every single day of the week. But it's fair to question the amount of money you're about to pay a guy if he can't get back on the field.
Yeah, he wants to be paid like a top-tier receiver. And I have heard that the negotiations, they're still far apart in getting a deal done. He doesn't want money like a Julio Jones or a Michael Thomas. So I'm thinking around maybe the $15, $16 million a year range for A.J. Green. But right now, as it stands, between Green's representation and the Bengals, they aren't close to getting a deal done. And that's unfortunate if you're a Bengals fan, because you want to have A.J. Green in Cincinnati for the remainder of his career. I mean, as we've all said, he's the best player on the team. He's arguably the best receiver in Bengals history, and he's a model citizen in the city of Cincinnati, and he's a good guy to bridge the gap to lead in the new direction when you're in a rebuild phase of the franchise. They're in a clear rebuild, so if you want somebody to still bring people in the seats, and A.J. Green is that guy. He's a marquee player, and he puts fans in the seats while you're in a rebuild.
But what do you just say, like, say his ankle's still not, you know, working well with him, he's not feeling 100%, he feels 90%, 80% right now, do you have that conversation with him and you just say, okay, we're going to just call it a season for you if they lose on Sunday or they lose in the next couple weeks, and you just say, well, we're just going to pay you because we know what we have in you?
I think it's fair for him to play. You want to see him play just to make sure that he's not injury prone now, and he want to make sure that Father Time isn't knocking on his door, isn't tugging on his shoulder, because, I mean, at the end of the day, he is 31 years old and he is at the end of his prime. So you want to make sure that he still has some juice left in the tank and he's still an upper echelon receiver. I think he is. When I saw him, it was a small sample size now, but the first day of training camp and even
30 seconds?
Yeah. And even at when he has been at practice, it's been on a limited basis, but it's pretty obvious that he's the best receiver the Bengals have.
Yeah.
Even on an ankle that isn't 100%.
You know, nothing is guaranteed, so it goes both ways. So for AJ, yes, I would disagree. You know, if you're not 100%, we're not going to play you this week, but you are going to play this season when you are 100%. As from a player perspective, so I can put some good stuff on tape, because nothing is guaranteed. I don't have a deal. I need to show the league that I can play at a top tier wide receiver level. From the, you know, management Bengals ownership perspective, we need to see him play. So we know we have an AJ, but we just want to make sure that it's all good, that we, so we can pay him the money we want to pay him and the money that he should get. And I think also from a football health perspective, you don't want to re-aggravate anything for any player, but specifically your franchise player, who, as Tyler said so eloquently, that he is the exact prototypical kind of veteran you want to rebuild around, that Larry Fitzgerald mold. An ultimate professional, a tremendous athlete that can reinvent himself. Should Father Time catch up with him, he can move into the slot. He has all those skills and that mindset to be that veteran, that quintessential veteran you need for a rebuild. So, yes, don't play him this week if he's not ready. Don't play him next week if he's not ready. But play him this season for both parties to feel that, okay, he's still got it. And I'm sure he's still got it.
And he also wants to prove that to himself and for all the other 31 teams in the NFL. Because
right,
if things don't work out in Cincinnati, he wants to be able to prove to the Patriots and other teams mm-hmm. that he still has it. So, yes, I 100% agree with what you said, Kareem.
We've talked a lot about rebuild and the team really not coming out and saying they're doing a rebuild. I think the change at quarterback is telling. With this quarterback draft class, I actually talked to BFF about this. It's online, Cincinnati.com, with Austin Gale and Cam Mailer. We talk a lot about the college quarterbacks who the Bengals could pick up, and we'll get to all that as the season goes on and we get to the offseason. But when you look at quarterbacks, you have Ryan Finley going out there. And kind of going into the week when he went into bye week, he thought, I'm getting AJ Green back out there on the field, which is a huge game changer. And it opens up Tyler Boyd, too, and maybe they get the run game going. But when you think about the future, if this team drafts a quarterback, which they're going to next season, they're going to get another quarterback, more than likely going to move on from Andy Dalton. Having a guy like AJ Green, a vet on this team, even if you're in rebuild mode and you're getting some of the younger guys and some of those other positions out there, what a game changer for that quarterback coming in here. I mean, we still look at the offensive line. It's still a mess. Even adding Jonah Williams in there next year won't change a whole lot. It'll be a nice addition to what they're dealing with right now. But when you move on to Sunday and you have a guy like Ryan Finley, who was getting his first start, and then finding out AJ Green might not be out there on the field on Sunday. What's going through this guy's mind? Because Zach Taylor said earlier in the week, he's asking the right questions. He said, you know, I have the confidence, and Andy Dalton's there. Alex Van Pelt is a great quarterback coach. We all know that when he left Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was upset about it. But if you're Ryan Finley, you're going out there on Sunday, you really have nothing else to lose because the season is 0-8 on the season. What's going through your mind?
Well, we'll see. It's funny. We already know what's going on in your mind, so you're already out on Ryan Finley. He has no chance to be
I don't have the confidence behind this offensive line. Like, I don't know. I heard it on Twitter after week one and week two, and I know those Andy Dalton people that just dislike him, and you can feel how you want about him. Andy Dalton has had a bad season this year, but he's had some good ones in Cincinnati, and we can get to all that when his career is over in Cincinnati, and we'll see as the next couple months go on for this team. But if you're Ryan Finley, you're going out there behind that offensive line, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, and no AJ Green, like you alluded to. It's going to be tough for the rookie, to put it mildly. They have to get the run game going, and that has been non-existent throughout this entire season. Offensive line cannot run block at all. They're going to have to run some trick plays and try to get the Ravens on their heels with things that they have never seen before, because for a rookie quarterback, you're going out there, you're already, like you said, the offensive line is not good at all, and then you have a receiving corps that cannot really separate well. Tyler Boyd is your best receiver, but he's not a burner, and he doesn't separate from covers all that great. So you're going to have to throw in some tight windows. So if I'm Zach Taylor and if I'm the Bengals offense, I'm calling short passes. I want some quick reads, and he needs to have players like wide open at a short radius. So, 5 to 8 yard completions all the way down the field. As a rookie quarterback, he's going to have to be able to dink and dunk to just keep him safe because I don't trust his offensive line to be able to pass block that well. And with the running game not working, you're going to have to utilize the short pass game, and you're going to have to get the ball out of his hands quickly.
Poor Ryan Finley.
I feel bad for the guy.
I mean, this is, you know, when they talk about, you know, I got to compartmentalize and I got to put out the distractions to go out there and play. That's what this guy needs to do, because he's playing with, unfortunately, the Bengals are playing with loaded dice here. Okay, the offensive line is atrocious. Okay, you're throwing in a rookie quarterback who has, you know, never played in the NFL. He's got to adjust to the speed of the NFL, all that. And then you play in the Ravens, okay? And, yes, that defense isn't what we expected it to be, but it's still the Ravens defense that, you know, can at any time come back to form, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, he really just has to go out there. I know it's a cliche, but he really has to go out there and do his best with what he's got. Mm-hmm. And you better hope A.J. Green is out on the field, not only to throw balls to him, but just to keep the defense honest in some fashion a little bit. You know what I mean? That'll put pressure off. That'll take pressure off for Finley. That'll take pressure off the offensive line and the running game a little bit. Kind of try to stretch it out the field a little bit. So the guy has a chance. If AJ Green isn't playing with this offensive line, with the way this defense is, the Cincinnati Bengals defense has been playing, they're going to need to score a lot of points, and I don't think they can.
What's even more alarming, if you're Ryan Finley and the Bengals, is Baltimore has the second highest blitz rate in the NFL. They send the blitz defensively. And in week six, when they play, Baltimore blitzed the Bengals 61% of the time on pass plays. And when you're a rookie quarterback, they're going to keep on coming. They are going to come early and often. They're going to blitz a lot. They're going to see if Ryan Finley can handle the blitz, and he's going to be tested all day Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium.
Fortunately for Ryan Finley, they moved a little bit away. They moved toward a more two tight end sets at the Rams game. So
maybe they'll use the tight ends that exist on their roster. I don't know.
I'm just saying, because, you know, they're going to, I mean, if they're, you know, I didn't know that stat. They're going to, about the Ravens defense, bring in the house, bringing the blitz, the pressure. Oh, wow. I mean, with that.
That's why I said.
No pressure.
That's why.
They're going to need to bring in a lot of extra help on that line for them. Or else, I mean, poor Ryan Finley right now.
You know what? And something's really kind of telling. I think the major key on Sunday is keeping the Bengals defense off the field. And that means Lamar Jackson is on the sideline. So as long as they can just get the ball moving and slowly, and just like you said, short passes, use your tight ends, use the guys you have available right now. But I want to go to Joe Mixon really quick, because Joe is one of those guys, and we said before the season, he has this confidence. He's almost like one of the cheerleaders in the locker room, and he still had a great season last year, despite the record and the offensive line they were dealing with. This year, it's been terrible, brutal, no run game at all. It's embarrassing. Some teams have more rushing yards on the season in one game than this club has had all season, which is an embarrassment. But Joe has actually been someone who I've kind of been watching from afar, because on Wednesday he was actually in Zach Taylor's press conference. No player ever comes into the press conference. They have better things to do. They're eating, they're changing, they're getting ready for practice. Joe Mixon was actually sitting in on it. And I'm a little interested, because Joe Mixon voices his frustration. He voiced it last year when they were struggling. He's one of those guys, he takes pride in some of the struggles. He puts the blame on Joe Mixon versus his offensive line or anybody else. He doesn't point fingers. He points the finger at himself. And for a young guy in the locker room who's watching this team struggle, they can't get anything going offensively. They're winless on the season, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. What's going through his mind? What is he thinking? And why do you feel like he is on these press conferences? Why do you feel like he is kind of paying attention or voicing some of his frustration?
I mean, Joe Mixon and I have had some conversations, and he is frustrated, but he is taking the high road. I mean, it's not all his fault. It's everybody's fault. If you can't run the ball, it's on all 11. And there have been times where he's missed holes, but those times have been few and far between. Most of the time, as soon as he gets the ball, he has two and three defenders right in his face. And more often than not, it's a defensive tackle or defensive end who just blew up an offensive lineman. And Joe Mixon has hardly had any room to run the football. And you almost have to feel sorry for him, because teams are obviously keen in on him, because without AJ Green out there, he is the most explosive player and the best player on the Bengals offense. So opposing teams are like, okay, well, they don't have a receiver that can beat us over the top. Tyler Boyd is their best receiver. He is only reliable and we only have to worry about him in the short game. He's not going to get 20, 30 yard receptions. So we can play closer to the box. And that accomplishes two things. It keeps everybody in front of us, and it's also going to contain Joe Mixon in the run game. If we have more players in the box, as soon as Joe Mixon gets the ball, we have eight players right there to corral him. And that's what Joe Mixon is facing each and every week, and it's going to continue this weekend when they play the Ravens.
He actually had a tweet out after this weekend. He was watching some of the ball games during bye week, and he said, "A running back, you gotta love a fullback. A guy we've all talked about, bring the fullback back to the NFL. You Sam Hubbard out there, do something." And he's right, though. He's right, though. He has nothing. Like, he's just running into walls every single time. There's no blocking. There's no holes for him. And like you mentioned, yes, he's missed a couple holes. But rarely is it Joe Mixon's fault right now. When is this team going to call Lorenzo Neal? Like, I'm being serious. Wait. Bring him out of retirement. He did some wonders for LaDainian Tomlinson, for Corey Dillon. Bring him back. Try something different. But really, I'm being completely honest. When are they going to try something like that?
Yeah, when you don't have a fullback on the roster, you can run some more 12 personnel. That's with two tight ends in the game, and use a tight end as a fullback or just as an extra blocker.
Yes.
Or, I mean, it seems like it's brain surgery to have Joe Mixon and Gio on the field together and call some runs with them and together.
So isn't Drew Sample like a really good blocker?
Yeah, that was kind of the reason they drafted him.
Okay, wheel him in there. Put him in at fullback. You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Do something.
And the thing about it is, and what's going to frustrate Bengals fans is when you look at on the other side of the football, the Ravens run three tight end sets, 13 personnel and 12 personnel all the time. And I believe they're ranked number one in the NFL in rushing.
And that's the thing. And I want to go back to this a little bit because it is frustrating. We talked about the two tight end set. When you have a healthy Tyler Eifert, look, I know his reps went down this year, and it makes sense because you want to get him through a full season. But what's the point of getting Tyler Eifert through a full season if you're not going to utilize him? CJ Uzomah, as you mentioned, Drew Sample out there blocking. You have a guy like Joe Mixon. You have Gio Bernard. You have Tyler Boyd, Alex Erickson. There are still plenty of playmakers on this offense.
I mean, they got Eifert some action in the Rams game.
Finally.
You know, I was good to see that, and they were throwing to him and targeting. There was one ball that was just, he was double covered, but he beat both those Rams defenders down the sideline, down the seam. If he grabbed it, would have been a nice catch, maybe possibly a touchdown. But yeah, I mean, they are getting Eifert a lot more involved, and I think that's really important to take. And again, for Ryan Finley, you need a security blanket, throw it to your tight ends, throw it, and Tyler Eifert is pretty sure-handed. You know what I mean? Yes, he's not as explosive as he once was going up there with the high leg kick and the big elbow, whatever, and going up there and grabbing balls, but he's got secure hands, throw it right to him in the short and intermediate game for Ryan Finley. And, yeah, I mean, I want to see more. I mean, we've said it for weeks and weeks now. More blockers everywhere. Just put them everywhere, you know?
I mean, even a guy like Auden Tate out there who has shined. I mean, when you look at all the negatives of the 2019 season, Auden Tate stepped up and could be a guy who you can utilize on Sunday. They're just if you look around the NFL, I still feel like the Cincinnati Bengals have playmakers out there on the offense, and they're just not utilizing them right now. And some could say, you know, the offensive line is terrible and you have no time. But Ryan Finley and Andy Dalton have a little bit in common. They can release the ball early, and maybe we'll see that a little bit on Sunday.
He's going to have to.
Yeah, he really doesn't have a choice. It's like, you better get rid of the ball or you're going to be on the ground. We're going to go over to the Ravens offense right now. Lamar Jackson, he's been actually really fun to watch if you've been watching any of the NFL games, even during bye week in the AFC North right now. And I said it before the season. I said, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, give me year two before I believe any of what they did in their rookie season. And Lamar Jackson, to his credit, even John Harbaugh told us on Wednesday, look, he has other pieces on this team, offensively and defensively, that have helped the Ravens sit in first place in the AFC North right now. And when you look at the AFC North, it's pretty easy to be sitting up there being number one right now. But I think Lamar Jackson is something special. Like, he's fun to watch, and it's almost like he's bringing back like that mobile quarterback. We see it in Russell Wilson. You see a little bit in the NFL, but I feel like it went away for a couple years and now it's back. Lamar Jackson is just showing him like he's going to be incredible.
Yeah, he's the second coming of Michael Vick, pretty much. That he's the best mobile quarterback we've seen since Vick, and he's on pace to break Michael Vick's single season rushing record for a quarterback. He's can rush for over 1,200 yards this season, and that will be an NFL record. And I mean, each and every week teams have keyed in on trying to stop him, and he's running all over the place. He's the key to the Ravens rushing attack, number one ranked in NFL. And then you have Mark Ingram back there. Baltimore is explosive, and on the other side of the football, the Bengals are the worst run defense in the entire National Football League.
By a mile. You know, the Ravens are contrarian. So over the last, 5 years, maybe more, the league has transitioned into this passing league and this passing high-octane offense in terms of through the air. It's always kind of good to be contrarian in life, I think. And so the Ravens are bringing back not only, as you mentioned, the mobile quarterback, but they're bringing back smash mouth football.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was making my picks last week, I do it with one of my friends for a pick'em league. I picked the Ravens to beat the Patriots. And he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Look, man, the NFL defenses are designed to stop. They're smaller, they're faster, they're designed. They're more amoeba hybrid defenses, right? You know, the safeties can kind of come down and play linebacker, and the linebacker can cover. But when you play an old school contrarian offense like the Ravens, who's going to run it up the gut and pound you, a lot of defenses in the NFL aren't built that way anymore." And I think you see that also with the Bengals. The Bengals have gotten smaller and faster. They still can't cover anybody, okay? And they can't—they apparently can't tackle and can't do any run defense either. But they're going to get destroyed by this smash-mouth offense. I mean,
you got to keep them off the field,
right? So it's contrarian. The Ravens' offense are doing things completely different than everybody else, and nobody can defend it.
It's going to be a long Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium, you guys.
Now, okay, I'm sure you're going to keep us on task.
A long Sunday, yeah. And we need to get to our predictions because, honestly, I don't even see a win on the schedule anymore. I know my prediction in London was pretty outrageous.
You're the optimist.
I think they're going to lose on Sunday, and honestly, it's probably going to be ugly. I'm not going to say 40-3. But I'm going to go with a 28-14, and that's being nice because they're going to get a garbage touchdown in the fourth quarter.
You said that will last like 4 weeks.
I mean, honestly, what am I going to say? What do you say? How do you change it up? And we're in the locker room the other day, Cream, and everyone's like, "Who do you think the best team is?" And it's like, this is where we're at. We're running out of questions to ask these guys right now. Like, what do you say? Does the energy feel different this week? No. You're 0-8 on the season. The energy feels pretty much the same every week. I mean, really, let's be honest. No, it feels different this week.
Does the energy feel different after the bye week?
No.
They did say it felt different after the bye week. You know,
they got a vacation.
Yeah, they got a vacation. They got a release from the constant losing over and over again. And it just got away from football. Sometimes you need to do that, especially when you're going through adversity. And the Bengals are going through adversity. And it's going to keep on coming until they win one game.
So you got 28-14.
28-14. That's Ravens. Actually pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. You know, that's two touchdowns. I mean, that's a significant, convincing win.
They actually play pretty well against the Baltimore Ravens in the past. But the only difference is Joe Flacco is out there and he's no longer there.
He's a statue back there.
Yes.
Right. What do you got, Tyler?
I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news again.
Don't be negative.
I'm going to be positive. The positive thing is that there are several churches around Cincinnati. So maybe, you know, before the game, 7 o'clock, go to the early service, pray, speak to a higher power to ask if you can stop the run game, stop Lamar Jackson. Maybe that will work. But, yeah, I don't see it happening. 31-13, I have the Ravens winning.
Cream, it's all you, bro.
I got two bold predictions.
Oh!
No, but they're still going to lose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got two bold predictions.
Moral victory.
I think A.J. Green plays. I don't know how bold that is, but I think he plays. And conditionally, Joe Mixon gets 100 yards on the ground if A.J. Green plays. Okay?
That's looking up.
All right.
You want to bet a dinner on this?
Legitimately, I will bet a dinner on this. Fine.
Jay Ruby's?
Okay, so a dinner that A.J. Green plays and Joe Mixon
gets 100 yards.
Oh, man, this is taking candy from a baby.
All right, but hey, but easy on the dinner, okay? I think the Ravens win 27-13. But I think A.J. Green plays, and if he plays, Joe Mixon gets 100 yards on the ground. Or how about 100 yards total yards? Is that okay?
100 total yards and A.J. Green play.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, fine.
Cool.
I'm sitting pretty.
Three L's. Three L's. Three the Cincinnati Bengals about to fall 0-9 on the season. Poor Ryan Finley. But the good news, we'll have you covered on Sunday when the Bengals return to Paul Brown Stadium. Ryan Finley getting a start, and we'll see if A.J. Green takes the field for the first time in 2019. Tyler, what's up on Cincinnati.com?
So you kind of alluded to it earlier. You gave it a good tease. I have three keys coming up later today, and that's going to talk about how the Bengals can actually win a football game, and one of the keys is winning the possession battle. They need to possess the football and keep the football out of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' hands. And, of course, any AJ Green news will be on Cincinnati.com as well.
Also, Kareem and Sam Green will have a photo gallery before and after. So check out the photos before the Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Make sure you're following along on Twitter, E&Q Sports. And we'll talk to you next week.